Stress tests, stressful results.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. We've been hearing good news from the big banks lately. They reported profitable quarters. Their stocks have risen. This morning's Wall Street Journal reminds us what still lurks in the basement. The Journal reports the stress tests the government has been running will not please two of America's biggest banks. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Government regulators have reportedly told Bank of America and Citigroup they'll need to raise more money. But the Journal says both banks are objecting to those preliminary findings. They're expected to respond to the government with detailed rebuttals. But you have to wonder, if these two banks had passed the Fed's stress test with flying colors, would anyone have taken the results seriously?
No. These tests have to be tough enough to show that these large banks are indeed in need of extra capital.
Edward Haddis, an economics editor at Breaking Views in London, says that much has been obvious to almost everyone for months.
The estimates from the macroeconomists of how big the losses in the financial system in the United States and around the world are just too big to suggest these banks are really strong enough to survive without more money.
Haddis says other large banks will probably be forced to raise more cash too, but it's unclear if any will come from private investors. The likeliest scenario is that the government will end up taking a larger stake in troubled banks. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Another battle banks have been fighting hits the Supreme Court today. The court will hear arguments over who has the right to enforce state anti-discrimination laws against national banks. Is it federal regulators or is it the states? John Dimsdale tells us what's at stake.
When New York's attorney general asked several national banks to explain why they were charging blacks and Hispanics higher interest rates, the feds told him to back off. They said those banks shouldn't have to worry about 50 different regulators. Gregory Taylor is associate general counsel with the American Bankers Association.
A patchwork of state laws could limit things as product offerings, increase operating expense, reduce efficiency within which banks do their business.
But states say federal regulators aren't enforcing state laws against banks that sell fraudulent products or discriminate. Eric Halperin with the Center for Responsible Lending filed a brief supporting the state's right to police their own laws. He believes the current bank crisis gives his argument teeth.
There's no better example of what happens when we have a lack of law enforcement than what we've experienced over the last couple of years.
No matter how the court rules, congressional reformers want states to have more authority to enforce state consumer protection laws. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Shares of Bank of America and Citigroup are down between 5 and 9% in pre-market trading. Stock markets have swine flu on their mind. European stocks are down 2 to 3%. Asian markets closed mostly lower. Airline and hotel stocks have borne the brunt. Yesterday, the Dow gave up 51 points and closed at 8,025. This morning, Pfizer reports a 2% drop in first quarter profit. Sales of the cholesterol fighter Lipitor fell quite a bit.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Last night, factory-level leaders at the United Auto Workers Union voted to recommend approval of a concession deal with Chrysler. The agreement would give the union a 55% stake in a revamped Chrysler. General Motors outlined its restructuring plan yesterday. It involves huge cuts, more government loans, and a buzz haircut for bondholders. Okay, that's the sad present of the auto industry. What about the future of car making? The Shanghai Auto Show just ended today. Our China Bureau Chief Scott Tong has been there checking out the new Chinese models. Scott, what did you see?
Oh, Bill, I looked at the Chinese brands and I saw a lot of knockoffs. If imitation is flattery, then Toyota has a lot to be proud of at the Shanghai Auto Show because there's a Chinese brand dead ringer for its RAV4 SUV. There's a lot of clones here, a pretty good clone of the Rolls-Royce, the Mercedes sports car, even the Mini Cooper. In fact, that Mini Cooper copy from the Chinese brand Li Fan sat on the exhibit floor next to a big sign that said innovation. We're going to upload some of these photos to our website, but the serious point is you know, China does a lot of things well, including low price. But in many sectors, it still lags in things like creativity and design. And, Bill, it's pretty obvious at the Shanghai Auto Show.
Are Chinese automakers happy to clone, or are they trying to make up that innovation gap?
Oh, they all know that they have to make up the gap, and they all know it's not going to come easy. One way to get ideas by buying them. That is for a Chinese brand to buy a foreign brand, and a lot of them are on the sales block right now. I talked to Dan Rosen at the Institute for International Economics, and he thinks it's just a matter of time before this happens.
If ever there were a time when the pricing was attractive to a Chinese firm, it's now. And while the majority of Chinese firms probably don't have the stomach for this fight yet, somebody's going to be the one to go first. And I think we'll probably see that before the year is over, would be my guess.
So that's a bold prediction, Bill, from Dan Rosen. Another way for Chinese automakers to get ideas is to squeeze them out of the foreign car makers. I mean, if General Motors or Toyota want to come and sell their cars in China, they have to partner with a Chinese automaker and share their ideas. It's a little bit of a Venus flytrap, but lots of countries do this to try to bring in the innovation from the West.
So, Scott, what's your report? Chinese automakers taking over the car world?
For now in the auto business, I think the object in mirror is a little smaller than it appears right now. Most think that the Chinese brand cars for a while will be kind of so-so. They'll be good enough. But you know, good enough is perfectly fine in a lot of markets in the world. China's putting pieces in some very interesting places, and eventually they want to come to North America.
Scott Tong in Shanghai, thank you.
Okay, Bill, thanks.
And finally, TGI Fridays. The name says happy, but the recession says sad. The entire casual dining sector is feeling the economic fallout. The price of steak fajitas is coming down faster than you can say jalapeno poppers. Chili's came out with $7 entrees recently. Now TGI Fridays says it will sell all its salads and sandwiches for $5 all next month. They haven't had prices that low since they opened in 1965. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.